What's up, fam? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast, episode 189. It's me, John Swanson, and my buddy James Halliday. How are you doing, man?
Hey, it's a me. I'm doing good.
James, you just came back from a cruise.
Yeah.
You held a sloth, which is the envy of my life, I think. It's like, I seriously want to go just to do that. I've heard of holding sloths and that being a thing. And
yeah, it was wild. They're very light animals.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You like, they hand it to you and you're like, oh, this is it. I have it. And you have to, like, you don't touch their back. That's the big thing. Just don't touch their back. You hold them by the bum and you hold it, like, and you let them hold on to you. And they just look so fucking happy that you are holding them. No joke. Like, they're just like, I know they're stoned out of their gourd off of whatever eucalyptus plant they're eating, but like,
yeah, exactly.
They just got these like squinty little eyes on, like, their face, their head is so small, and they just got this like squinty little eyes and a big smile on their face the whole time. It was just so funny. But yeah, they're like, you would feel like they're really coarse, but they're not. Like, they're
oh, really?
It is, yeah, like, it's a coarser, like, fur, but it's not like wiry,
brittle,
like super wiry. Yeah. It's there's still a softness to it, and you're like, oh shit, like this is. We also got
to take this little guy home with me.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, bye bye. No, it's good. I had a blast. Yeah, no, that was in Roatan, Honduras, which was my favorite stop on the whole cruise. Everything else kind of felt more tourist trappy, if that makes sense. And I'm not a cruiser. Like, Chrissy's family is, my fiance's family is a huge cruising family. Whereas I rent a place in wherever I'm going. Not a hotel, all inclusive or anything. I just rent
like a VRBO or something.
Yeah.
Or Airbnb.
Exactly. You rent it for like whatever, a couple weeks. You stay there. I familiarize with myself with the town. Local spots and stuff like that. Like, I'll spend nights just walking through, like, the streets and going, oh, this place looks really cool. I'm going to go for lunch there someday. Or, like, you know what I mean? And that's kind of, like, my, I just want to, like, implant myself in somebody else's, like, society and just let me just kind of exist there rather than, like, chaperone me to all of the good spots, quote, unquote.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, I don't want the curated, like, shoveled, like, this is what we want you to think of this place.
Right. You want something more, like, just real natural, and organic. Like,
yeah. Let me see what life's like and experience this culture. And that's what I did. I lived in Italy for a month, and that's what I did when I was living in Florence. And I did it for school. I was studying art there, but, like, I had an apartment. I went to the market every day. I walked to school. I had my favorite coffee shop. You know what I mean? Like, I developed that familiarity, and I'm really good with directions. Like, I know, like, everybody's got a weird, like, different, unnatural skill that's just like, why do you have this skill, right? Like, it's not like something that you can make a career out of. Some people, like, can, like, are really good with patterns and puzzles. I'm good with locations. If I've been somewhere, if I've been coherent while getting there, I will remember that forever. Like, I can come back 10 years later, and as long as they haven't built a new building or something like that, I can perfectly walk that path. And I will do that to, like, places I was there when I was like 5, and they like, I go back there and I'll be like, oh yeah, this is how we get to this place. And I'll do it. And I don't know why. It's not something that I think about. It's just something that I just know. I just remember. And
maybe
so
you're part migratory bird.
Right. As long as I've been there once.
Lock I feel in. The pole pulling me this way.
Yeah. Which is funny because our cruise was like a labyrinth. Like, it's just like, there was no straight line to anywhere. It was like, you have to walk through all of these different bars or room, or like venues, to get to another one. Like, the pool deck, you had to walk through the buffet cafeteria, and everything was on, like, several different elevators. It was, like, you had to take multiple elevators to get to one, or stairwells, to get to one location. It was a maze. But literally, the first day, all I did is I walked the entire place. I even snuck into, like, the VIP lounge bar area because nice. Somebody had opened the door and I just walked in with them. And so we got to see the special lounge area that we were never allowed back in. But yeah, no, I just memorized the ship, and then everybody's like, "Oh, I think it's on this one." I was like, "No, it's on floor 8. We just go to the back of this area." And they're like, "How do you remember that?" I was like, "I just walked it the first day." I don't know what did you guys do? Yeah, but I had fun. It was a good cruise.
I'm glad you had a good time, man. Got out of the winter nonsense. Oh, did you get all that cold streak
we had a massive dump of snow the night before we left.
Oh, and really?
Our flight got canceled because we live on an island. And yeah, yeah. We need to take a plane to the mainland and then the mainland plane. Yeah, to the other plane. Mm-hmm. So our flight got canceled. So literally the night before we were supposed to leave, we hopped a boat, the last ferry off the island to Vancouver, and then had to find a hotel last minute, make sure it's got a shuttle to get us to our flight the next morning, reschedule that flight because they're like, you can't make your first flight, you can't make your second flight, so cancel both of those. So I had to reschedule. Oh, it was a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. Start of our trip.
Man.
But we made it. We got out of the snow, got into some muggy, cold weather in Texas. And Texas was like, I don't know, I can't remember the, but it was cold. It was almost as cold as where we left.
I know. Yeah, they had ridiculous. A cold streak there. Yeah. It was, yeah, you missed a good, or probably picked up a good time to be away because it was kind of nasty here for a while. Like here being North America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just like Minnesota, but like all over the place. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, man. We are recording this on Sunday, February 4th. And the relevance of that is not really apparent, but I felt compelled to say it either way. And then before we get into what we've been playing, did you play a lot of games or did you have any time for games while you were on the boat?
I brought my analog pocket and my Switch.
Oh, nice.
And my Switch I touched once. That analog pocket came everywhere with me.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that thing, the battery lasts forever. And
I know. It's like, insane. You can play. I plugged it in once.
Yeah. It's crazy. That thing is sweet.
I was playing Live Alive. Translated NES, like Super NES version, rather than like the Switch version, because I was like, oh, you know what, I could play so many different games.
Play the original one.
I was gonna play the original, so I've been playing that, and I've I'm about 5 out of 8 stories done, so
right on.
I'm on my way to the end.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, before the lowdown is going to be a little bit different. We no longer have the phone number. I don't know if you saw that.
What?
We got the Google number got shut down. I'm sure I could sign up for another one, but I'm not going to do that right now. Because the lowdown's gotten so long that it's like I was kind of welcoming the fact that we have one less thing to talk about. But
you talked about it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll remember I'll be on my deathbed saying 507-291-2991. And so will that person who called in sick using it all the time. But yeah, you can email us, podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. You can hit us up on Twitter @MNGamersPodcast. Chris did put out I keep wanting to say episode. What do you call it? Not episode.
Mostly Normal Monthly?
Yeah, not subscription. What is it? Like magazine, yeah. Not an article.
Article.
Yeah, magazine. Whatever the thing. It came out.
Write up.
Yeah, the Substack at mngamers.substack.com. You can check that out, or on our website, mostlynormalgamers.com. That's it. Now we can talk about what we've been playing. You've been playing, yeah. Dude. I did want to talk to you about. I finished Dave the Diver. You know.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know, I always bitch about how games are too long.
Yes. And
this, I was like, oh, good, indie games. You know what aren't long? Indie games.
Well, sure.
That's not true. Like, at all. Because this game, and this isn't really a complaint, but it was, I played it for over 30 hours. And I didn't do, like, I did a lot of the side missions, but certainly not all of them or all of the things that you could do in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just shocked at how long it was.
Oh, wow.
And not like I said, not in a bad way. You're, like, you end up going out. It's very, it's, you know, it got compared to like a cooking game, you know, like Cooking Mama or whatever. And that's accurate in the fact that, like, you go out during the day to fish for seafood to bring back to your sushi restaurant. But that is a very small part of what you're doing. Like, I mean, you also end up, like, farming. You also end up having, like, livestock of fish of different depths that you can catch. There's an overarching story that's like with the sea people that live in the ocean or in this giant blue hole. And then you're also like managing the restaurant and managing your diving equipment and that kind of thing. So it's just, there's a lot, and you end up, there's a like card collection game. They even put like Tamagotchi. Do you remember the Tamagotchi, like feeding your pet or whatever?
Yeah.
That's like, you have a cell phone and you use your cell phone to like upgrade your guns. You like call the other characters and they upgrade your guns or your diving equipment. There's like, you can do research like by getting rid of animals that aren't supposed to be in the area and that kind of stuff, or picking up a bunch of sea anemones, like, or red sea stars or whatever. Like, you get research points and those go to, like, give you these accessories that are somewhat of a power up. Like, you can have one equipped at a time. But my point is, like, it is very, there's a lot going on. And by the, I got to the dredge thing, you know how they had that?
Yeah.
And that was cool, but it was like, what do you call the fish that are not right in dredge?
Oh, yeah, like the ones, yeah, the,
I can't, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, they're abyss, something, I don't know.
Aberrated or something.
Aberrations,
like that.
Yes, aberration.
Yeah. Anyways, you have to fish for the aberrations, and it does change up the game. It makes it kind of like a cross between Dredge and Dave the Diver, where go out and, like, actually fish, but it doesn't, it is a good, like, combo of the two games. And then after you fish for those aberrations, you can invite these, like, very creepy people into your restaurant, and they eat the sushi that's made from the aberrations. But then you can kick them out, or you can do that, but then you don't have to allow them in. You can be like, hey, these people are creeping out my customers, so, like, don't let them come in anymore.
Yeah.
And then that kind of, like, turns off that that aspect of it. So overall, I'd say it was a really fun game. It was just daunting. I was not anticipating a 30 plus hour game.
Damn.
So,
oh, man.
Kudos to the small team who put it all together, because it had to be a lot of work. And then the other reason I wanted to bring it up, other than the fact that I haven't talked about it on here since I finished it, is they had another thing, and you will talk about the PlayStation showcase a little bit later, but
I just wanted, because that's the only thing, is like, I'm not a huge into Dave the Diver. I haven't played it. I'm kind of interested in it, but like, aspects of it don't super appeal to me. And then, like, you said the length, and I'm like, god damn it, that's not what I'm looking for. But then I saw the new PlayStation showcase, and they've got this like little another collaboration. I was like, oh shit, I have no idea how this is gonna work, but fucking, it's just Dave the Diver and then Godzilla coming out of the water, Godzilla theme playing in the background, and then I was like, shit, how is this gonna work in a collect your resources for your fishing or for your cooking game, like, what?
Yeah, you do encounter like bosses and stuff, and there's this game there's this guy that comes out in like a paddle boat that looks like a fish.
Okay.
And he, there's basically, I want to call it like a trading card game, okay. kind of like Pokemon or something like that. But there's no like game that you can play. Thank God they didn't put another aspect in here that I had to do. But yeah, exactly. But you basically every creature or item that you collect in the abyss or in the ocean,
yeah.
you get a card for it. So and those are like collectibles. And then I can't remember I'm sure you get something for them. But I can't remember exactly what it is when you fill them all out. And I actually got a good bit of them done.
Nice.
I certainly didn't complete it, nor will I. And again, I'm not trying to... it's not an indictment on the game. It's just like 30 hours, man. And to just finish the story. And that's just to roll credits, man. Like, there were still other things I could do. Like, even like side stories and stuff like that. Like, I wasn't anticipating getting into a fucking... JRPG. I was thinking about playing a little mini game, or an indie game.
Yeah.
But so it is good.
Even though it's got Godzilla coming, it might not be a nice quick indie game to dip my toes into just to play the Godzilla part. All right.
And I mean, dude, if you want, I can hop back in there because the Dredge stuff took, like, I didn't even get into the Dredge stuff till I was probably like 15 to 20 plus hours in.
Oh my god, yeah. That's...
So, and then I don't know if you have to complete the game to beat Godzilla or what, but like, or face Godzilla. I can log in and see what it says, but yeah, did they drop that last or during the direct?
They announced it. I don't know if it's
okay
out yet or not, but yeah,
because I did, there was an update when I started my Switch the other
day. Okay, yeah.
So the other game I finished is Neon White. Have you ever played that?
Nope. I know it, though.
It's Speedrunner's Dream. Good, man. Say what?
I said the Speedrunner's Dream.
Yeah. It's fun, man. If you... First-person platforming has never really been my cup of tea. But like games like Ghost Runner, I didn't really like that because it was pretty punishing. The other one I did play was Boomerang X. Did you ever play that? That was pretty decent.
But it reminds me of... I haven't played.
Well, no, there's a lot of games, last I checked. Yeah. So, it's cool, man. The way it sets up, it's very kind of frenetic. And, like, you basically get cards, right? And each card is a weapon. So it's either a, like, pistol or shotgun or RPG or whatever. And you can shoot that weapon. Or if you discard it, it has a different... power. So like the pistol, you can shoot as a pistol, or you, when you discard it, you get a like a super jump or like a double jump kind of thing.
Okay.
Or like the shotgun like jets you in the direction that you're facing, so like you have to alternate between shooting using the weapon and using the discharge power movement. Or discard move to like destroy other stuff. And that's the other thing is if you like the submachine gun, when you can shoot it, obviously, and then when you discard it, you stomp. And like the discard ability, if you go through or hit a demon, it kills it. So you have to play that aspect. So you're constantly trying to look at what card you have and then figure out what to do in the environment, whether you should like shoot the thing or use it to like latch onto to shoot to the next thing. But it was really fun. The story I didn't really get into. It's about like this group of misfits who die and go to heaven, and then they become neons, and God's been overthrown by these things called believers. It was very the angels are cats.
Oh,
it reminded me of a who makes Persona?
Atlas.
Atlas. It reminded me a lot of an Atlas game. Like, very, it's not, but, cool. If you haven't played it and you like first-person platformers, which I know is not everybody's, you know, here, first-person platformer, it's really hard to do, I think.
Yeah.
But it's done well, and it's a lot of fun. One thing I did want to observe was that, well, two things, actually. One, they stole your saying, first try. Oh. Oh, he says God. That I know, and it's, dude, it had me cracking up every single time because, like, the way the game works is, like, you die and you go back to the beginning, right? So, like, the only, when you complete it the first time, you may have died 20 times.
Yeah.
But he, at the end, he'll still say, just like you do. So I was like, I was cracking up, man, because he was like, first try. And like, I was like, dude, I died like 20 times. but I thought that was pretty good. And then the other thing, what was I going to say? Oh, I've lost it. Sorry. But yeah, it's a pretty solid game if you, if you're into trying a new, it's on sale too. It was on sale nice. on the old Switch there, Switcheroo. Oh, the other thing I was going to say, now I remember, was like Celeste kind of ruined these games where you die and start over again.
Yeah.
Because that game was just primo at, like, if you died, you just started immediately. And this doesn't have, like, even, it's not long. It's maybe like 3 or 4 seconds. It's not long, but it's weird how Celeste was so perfect in that regard that it's just kind of set my standard just so much higher for these games where you are frequently dying and having to start over again, you know? Because this is definitely one of them. When you get to the harder levels, like, and the boss battles, like, and there's no checkpointing. Like you said, it's a speedrunning game. So, like, the final boss has, like, 5 phases. And if you die during the 5th phase, you start over again.
Oh,
so
you
just get used to it. Like, so you get through the first 4, like, super easily. But it's kind of like a roguelite in that way where you're just like, fuck, I got to do this all over again.
Can I interject with a
absolutely
seamless segue to one of the games I've been playing and actually completed last night? I've been playing a little game called Celeste 64, which released
the day
for their 6-year anniversary. And holy shit, what a charming little...
Is it good?
Nugget. Yeah, it's just, you're dropped in kind of an open world, collect 30 strawberries. That's kind of your goal. There's no real goal. There is a get to the top, but you can do that without collecting anything if you wanted to, right? So I made it myself the goal of collecting 30 strawberries, which is all of them. So yeah, and it's hard. It took me. I died a lot. I think I had. I'd have to bring up my score, but it was like a lot next to big number next to that skull. Fun. Wow. Like, just so super. Like, just mentioning, like, there's no checkpointing in certain. Like, there's like, it reminds me of Mario Sunshine, where like you do like those. You know, and like you would lose the flood and you have to do like an old school platforming level, and they're like insanely hard for some reason. All of the mini stages are that. And it's just like, all right, here's your goal. Here's the pan out of the like insane labyrinth of like jumps you're going to have to do and go. And it's like, it's super light, light gameplay, but super fucking hard.
Is it platforming?
Yeah, it's all platforming, okay. Right? It's just like Celeste, but 3D.
It looked like Mario 64 from my brief glance at it.
Very much. Like, but it's all platforming. Like, it's like you're doing wall jumps, you're doing climbing around, you're doing your dashes in the air, you're collecting your double jumps in the middle of a jump to try and like get extra. Like, the last strawberry I had to get was so friggin' hard. And it wasn't even the hard... I don't think it was technically the hardest one, but it's just the one that I died so much on. And, like, it starts you off, you have to climb a wall, and then you have to climb to the backside because the front side's pretty much covered in spikes, except for a small nugget of it, and then you climb the backside, then you have to jump to the other... Like, it's just weird, like, shaped blocks that you have to, like, perfectly jump and not touch any of the... You jump into the opposite side, which in a three-dimensional space is really kind of hard with a analog stick, if you're trying to think about it, because you're trying to jump, how do I say it? Like, you're jumping off of, like, one side of a piece of paper over the top of the paper and trying to jump onto the backside without touching any spikes that are possibly around on that paper. And it's took me forever. And then, like, just stuff like, there's parts of that game that reminded me of There used to be, like, an old, like, phone game called, like, The Hardest Game Ever or whatever. And it's all about, like, your little stupid little Mario kind of character who walks along and then, like, a spike will drop. So you're like, okay, and kills you in one hit. You're like, okay, so try it again. I know not that spike's going to fall. So you step under it, then you back away from it or whatever. So it comes down. But then it does a jump after it lands and hits you again. And so, like, you're learning from, like, the game is stuff like, where, like, you go to jump onto a platform, and then that, as you jump, that platform moves out of the way. So you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. So you gotta figure out how to get to the... It's stuff like that, where it's like you jump onto a wall, and then suddenly you're like, I can cling to this wall, and I'll jump to this wall. Oh, this wall is falling now. All right, well, now I have to think about... I can't think about it, I just have to do it. And so it's a lot of, like, really technical platforming. And, yeah, it was hard, but... yeah, I managed to beat it in a couple days. Like, it didn't take too long, and it was enjoyable nice. Doing it. So, yeah.
And that's available at itch.io, right?
Itch.io, completely free. Absolutely worth checking out, especially if you like Celeste. Like, absolutely check it out. It's just, like, especially, like, because it's, like, they make references to the game, right? Like, you talk to all the characters that you met along your first journey, and they're like, oh, you're back. What are you doing? And it's kind of, like... She's revisiting some things, and that's kind of like the concept of it. Because, anyway. Good game. Loved it. Had fun. You can go back to any other games you've been playing. I just wanted to...
Oh, no, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I will probably download it on the Asus Rogue Ally thing, because I feel like that would be a good platform to play it on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to hear it's good, because I thought it looked cool, but you never know if it's going to be
good.
But that team of developers and just in Maddie, general, that group of folks, like, are incredibly talented, so it doesn't surprise me that it's good.
Yeah, and it's like the original crew, like Maddie Thorsten was part of the development of it. Like, it's not like it was like, oh, hey, B-list team, just go make
it. They licensed it or something.
So, no, it's the main crew.
Cool. The only other things, I think you also played Assassin's Creed Mirage.
I think
I've abandoned it because that I'm going to go back. It's just, it's not necessarily like even the, maybe it is the desert, because when I played Assassin's Creed Origins, I played it for a little bit and then I was like, no, thank you.
Oh.
And so this one's in the desert again. So I don't know if maybe that's my... off key or what the deal is, but it does have a lot of cool history about Baghdad and the Muslim religion and that kind of stuff, which I didn't know before, but I don't know. What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed the biome. I'm not one of those desert haters. I have I made a t-shirt on my Redbubble account specifically for a buddy of mine who absolutely hates deserts, and so I've got he always says worst biome just every time, like, you're in a desert, worst biome. And I loved it. I thought, like, the environments were great. The stuff that I didn't like about the game were the shit where it's like, clearly there's some other knowledge that I'm supposed to know about that I just don't know about, because I don't play Assassin's Creed games, right? Like, I know that there's, like, for the most part, you're supposed to be in, like, a machine reliving, like, an ancestor's life, but it didn't do any of that. And
the whole time it didn't? And not even at the end?
At the end, there was some weird shit that was happening that I genuinely didn't understand what was going on. And I was like, isn't there, like, an animus or whatever it's called? Like, the machine that you're in? And I thought they were going to make a reference to that, but no, it's like, it's referencing something. It's almost like it's referencing another Assassin's Creed game, and I just don't know what was happening, and I just kind of was like, all right, that's it. The game ended. Cool. And then, like, at the very end, like, your bird buddy, like, attacks you, and I'm like, like, it's not, like, a big spoiler or anything, it's just, like, I don't know, you're standing there, and the bird, flies by, and then, like, cuts your eye, like... As if, like, whoa, was that significant? Like, why do we have a scar on our eye now? Like, what?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like it was, like, it's almost like he's the character you play as is in a different Assassin's Creed game, and they're like, they got to the end of the game, they're like, oh shit, we have to give him a scar. I don't know, like, for some reason they forgot to put in, like, the reason he gets that scar, and it's like, all right, well,
how about the bird who's been his ally the entire game?
So for suddenly... me as a player being like, what the fuck happened? Yeah. What is, I don't know who this guy is outside of what I've played of, and I liked his character. I liked all the, like, normal shit you get along, like, you do, like, the assassinations were fun, like, all that sort of stuff. The missions, I thought, were pretty good. It was a little bit janky with some of the, I want to call it the Assassin's Creedisms, like, just the movement tech. Sometimes, like, I will climb onto, like, a post, and I'm like, all right, climb up, right? Like, I've always done, hold this button down and push up. And he's just, like, swaps to the other side of it. Swaps to the, yeah. I was like, just up. Like, just, I don't know. I'm see up that on the thing there?
Grab it.
I'm pushing up on the stick. I don't know how else to convey this to you. Please go up. Yeah, the guys are attacking you. This is happens when you don't keep moving. Like, it's just frustrating me. Like, those are the only real, like, moments that really kind of, like, took me out of it. But other than that, I had a blast playing it. I thought it was fun.
Right on.
I would give it, I think I gave it, like, a 7 to 8 out of 10 in my head. Like, just, I would say 7, probably, just because there's stuff in that game that didn't jive with me. Like, the ending, whatever the hell was going on.
Well, they tout the 15-year anniversary, right? Like, it talks, or, I mean, they have, like, a logo that says 15 years or whatever. And, like, there are more than 15 Assassin's Creed games in that 15 years, right? Like,
if you
take into account, like, the games for Vita and probably DS and all that stuff. Like, so, I mean, I gave up after a while. The first, because this is your first foyer into...
Second. I played Assassin's Creed 2 a million years ago on the PlayStation
Three, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was, I feel like that was the peak. And then Odyssey was the next peak. And then now we're back to square one.
Yeah, I thought it felt very reminiscent of what I played in Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
And what I liked of Assassin's Creed 2 was present in Assassin's Creed Mirage. So I feel like, I don't think it's my favorite genre. It's not my favorite style of stealth. Like, that's another, I think I've mentioned it before, but, like, another Assassin's Creed-ism. Like, they never explained that you can just stand in a crowd and hide and you blend in. I didn't know that until, like, the very end of the game where I was, like, running, I was hiding, I was, like, fucking stressed, and I think I bumped into some people and I couldn't get through them. And then suddenly my character just, like, did the, like, highlight as if I'm blending in. I was like, oh, shit, I can just hide in crowds?
Yeah.
What? Like, just, like, why didn't I know this before? Like, why didn't they, like, oh, hey, here's the small tutorial that tells you you can hide into a crowd. Like, they did give you a little tutorial section. I just didn't get that tutorial, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah. It definitely does go lean back to a lot of the, or harken back to a lot of the original things. Yeah. And it's not the I mean, there's still some what people consider RPG elements because there's leveling up and adding skills and that kind of thing, but there's it's really a third person action adventure. I don't know,
the skills you get when you level up are super not exciting. Like, I would could just say
literally, like, not do it and you'd be fine.
Half the time I'm sitting there going, like, I don't know, I guess fucking this one.
100%, dude. Like, I completely agree. I was like, oh, like, do I have to choose one? I guess you can make your bird target things faster. That's the one I think I went to faster.
Yeah, same, first, same.
I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. No, it was it was a good game. It just, like, it felt like I was trying to, I don't know, it felt like there was, I was trying to accomplish a few extra things that I didn't get it. I didn't know what they were trying to do. So, as far as gameplay wise, I thought it was fun. I like the environments. I love the desert. I love the fact that you can just autopilot your camel or whatever. Like, you just set it to auto control, and then you can set it to cinematic, where it's just giving you all these really cool like wide shots of you going through the desert or whatever or up close. And so I was like, this is sweet. So I would like use that moment as a breather, like, okay, I can check my not Twitter, I don't know, I'm checking something on my phone, like check messages or something like that, and I'm looking up at seeing that sort of like in the background, like knowing I'm in good hands, my camel's taking me exactly where I need to be. And I'm like just enjoying that breathing room, I guess. Yeah. Which is not always what you want in a video game, but for me that was like just the perfect amount of it.
Yeah. I think if there's no fast travel, that's like if it's a place that you haven't been to, and like you, because you know you have to set a destination before you have the camel like follow the road or whatever. Otherwise, I mean, you can have the camel follow the road and then just stare at your screen for hours upon hours, I'm sure. Yeah. It'll just follow the road around. But if you don't have a fast travel, that's a good substitute, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
good.
So the only other two games I've been playing is Armored Core 6. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And I've only played the first mission, so I don't feel like I'm even
at ready a place to talk. Where
I can really talk about it.
Yeah.
But I also played Lies of P, which is.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I've only played a tiny bit of it. Maybe an hour, but it feels a lot like Bloodborne in all the good ways.
Yeah.
except it's not nearly as challenging, which I'm okay with.
I have heard I've not beaten it, but I'm a good friend who has played like all the Souls. He's got me into Souls games. He's played it through to the end and said there are boss fights in that game that made him struggle, and he's the kind of person who goes into like most Souls bosses and beats it like the second try.
Oh really? Oh well, yeah. See,
he says some of those bosses are real hard, and I've only played the demo, and it was tricky. I had fun doing what I did, right? But it just at the time of Lies of P's release, there's just too many games I had to play, so
yeah,
it fell by the wayside.
I do kind of wish I would have prioritized this one a little bit higher. I think it's just more my jam than a lot of the other things I've been playing recently, which is, you know, can't win them all. And it's on Game Pass, so it's not like I had to spend another $60
on a game. Yes, I think I have it downloaded on my Xbox. I should just, since I'm kind of thinking, what do I play while I wait for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth? What do I do?
Yeah, I know. Maybe when is that? The 20th?
22nd or something? I can't remember. Yeah, it's at the end of the month.
Yeah,
very end. 23rd maybe, because that's a Friday.
And then we got like the Rise of the Ronin, and it's gonna start.
Are you excited for that?
I am. I don't know. I'll wait till reviews come out.
I don't know. No. Like I was watching like the trailer of it, and I'm just kind of like, it reminds me of, what was that? Didn't we get another like sort of samurai styled era game that was supposed to be Souls like super hard? It was super hard, and people wasn't into it. They weren't having fun. That came out like last year.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it. I talked about it on this podcast though, because I played a tiny bit of it, and it felt a lot like Neo. And but I just
Neo is Team Ninja, and Team Ninja's doing Rise of the Ronin. So feel like it's just Rise of the Ronin is like another Neo, but it's less. Maybe a little less like straight demon-y, like from like straight magic demons. It looks like there's monsters in it, but they look more based in reality than using like coming out of like the ground or whatever, like a warp hole out of the ground. And now I'm Manoni here to attack you. I don't know. It just kind of looks. I don't know if I'm just kind of bored of that aesthetic, like the bland samurai era, like ninjas and ronin and samurai. I don't know. It's just, it's not doing a lot for me. I really enjoyed Ghost of Tsushima, and that kind of was the edge of my like interest level for it. Like, I was, like, not going to get it until I heard everybody was talking how good it was. And I was like, shit, well, maybe you've piqued my interest. And I played it, and I really enjoyed it. And I had a good time playing it. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe
you're not clamoring for a sequel.
I'm not, I didn't play the DLC. Like, I had no interest in going back to it. I did play a bit of, like, the multiplayer DLC stuff. Me and a buddy played a bunch of it. But yeah.
Yeah, that was good, man.
Yeah,
I played a tiny bit of it, and it was really good.
But the DLC with, like, the, you go to the other island or something like that, and you fight more monsters.
Yes, yeah, I played I liked it, but I can definitely understand where you were like, I'm good.
Yeah, I just kind of felt like I didn't need more of it.
Right.
And I don't doubt they're making a sequel. I don't doubt that it's going to be good. I'm sure it will be. I'm okay if we wait another year or so.
Yeah. You're not. I can't argue with that, man. I guess I like that aesthetic a lot, and
okay,
I'm
fair.
Excited to see where Rise of the Ronin goes, and see if it's any good. But anyway, what have you been playing other than Assassin's Creed and
three games this year so far? It's been 1 month. I managed to conclude my playthrough of an old PlayStation 2 game called Metal Arms: Glitch in the System.
Familiar.
It's an interesting little game. A buddy, one of my streamers, lent it to me, or like not my streamers, my viewers of my streams.
Yeah, yeah.
Lent it to me. Said, "Hey, give it a playthrough on stream." So I did. It is clunky. It is not, does not play very well. It's got kind of a bland environment. The sound design is abysmal. It's got a Ratchet and Clank feel to it. Little more military based. Like, you play a robot. He's got a bunch of different guns. You are a mining robot that is rebelling against the militant robots that are ruling the world. And that is about the extent of the knowledge of the game. They've got a lot of A-list voice actors in this game. Like, half the voices are, what's his name? Rob Paulsen from, like, Animaniacs, Ninja Turtles. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's just, it's like, I hear his Raphael voice everywhere in this game. And I'm just like, oh, there's weird, that's like, fart humor in the game, too. They're all robots. There's no, like, organic life. And yet the robots will, like, just fart from time to time. And I'm like, I have no idea why. When you shoot, like, a specific arm on the robots, though, like, the arm will become destroyed or it won't move properly. So it's like, there's this sort of tactic of, like, oh, I can take out certain body parts. But the problem is, at the end of the day, you just the accuracy is not pinpoint enough that you want to be sitting around shooting their arms and limbs. You just want to blast them and kill them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a wasted opportunity for a really cool game design.
And what game ramps up? Is this on? Did you say
it's on GameCube and PlayStation 2? I played it on PlayStation 2.
Okay.
And it's
got it.
It's interesting. It's fun. For some levels. Other levels, it's like, literally, I remember shaking my head because, like, you come down a tube and you come out into, like, this plaza and there's just enemies everywhere. And I'm not even kidding you. You step out on that plaza and every enemy in that area just looks at you. And the next thing you know is just the screen is exploding with attacks and you can't see anything. You don't know what's going on. And then you're dead. And I'm like, I did that section so many times. I tried staying in the tube as long as I could to shoot, like, with a sniper. Instantly, just all of them focus fire. I was banging my... I was like, what do I do? Like, everywhere I go, I'm just dead in, like, 10 seconds. And it was just like... Like, even viewers were like, who just stopped by going, what the hell is happening? Like, this is not... This doesn't look visually entertaining at all.
Well, and it's not like you can probably look up a YouTube video of it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's
like you can for everything else.
Oh my god! And yeah, so it was a struggle. And then the worst, there's two levels. No, there's three levels where you have to drive a car, and you have a deadline. You have to basically, it's a racetrack. You have to get to the end of the racetrack before the timer runs out. And let me tell you, do you remember Mass Effect with the they had that little, like, the first game that you had, like, a little craft that you would drive around on, and how it controlled, abysmally.
Yeah.
Give them an award, because that truck in Mass Effect drives way better than anything that drives in this fucking game, let me tell you. So you know how in a normal game you would have a control stick to steer, and then you'd have an accelerator button, right? Well, in this game, it acts like an old RC car, where you've got a control stick that goes forward and backwards. That's one analog stick, it's going forward and backwards. And the other analog stick is for turning left or right. If you hit even the smallest bump, you flip the car, and you have to push X to flip right side up. And if you do so, it flips you the wrong way, so you're facing the wrong direction. So you have to now reverse and turn with two control sticks, essentially, and hope you turn at the right, like you don't hit anything while turning around. And then, if you hit something, you gotta figure out the other combination of direct. It's just not intuitive at all. I spent so long doing the racing levels, and it's just, like, abysmal. Like, you just hit the bump, suddenly it's flipped. You're flipping, you're back the wrong way, you're doing this whole... It was a shit show. And there's no, like, accelerator has, like, two sections. You're not moving, and you're full blast. And if you want anything in between, the dead zone is, like, nowhere. Like, you can't, like, it's, like, all dead zone, and then, boom, you're just all 100%. Like, there's no happy medium, and it's like, goddamn, this is a nightmare to try and, like, drive slowly for certain sections. It was not good. Glitch in the system, metal arms or whatever, it's, meh. I would rate it, like, a 5 out of 10. It had its moments. There's some genuinely funny moments in it, but, yeah, other than that, also, all the sound design, music, and everything was done by the director of the game. Oh, so, gotcha. I feel like it's like the director of the game was like, all right, I'm directing this whole game. I've got all these ideas. And then it's just like, oh, shit, we need sound design. I can do that. That shouldn't be too hard. Oh, my God, it's abysmal. Like, it's just stuff where, like, the music is louder than people talking and, like, explosions are going off while important dialogue is happening. Just stuff that, like, I can't hear anything. I sure wish this game had subtitles, but that's not an option. So, well, yeah, I don't know.
That wasn't a thing on PlayStation 2.
I know.
Right?
So I beat that game. I rolled credits. I did it. I washed my hands of that game. And the other game I played was that Silent Hill game that also came out the other day after the State of Play from PlayStation, where they shadow dropped a free-to-play, two and a half hour Silent Hill game that takes place in first person. It's reminiscent of PT, which I've never played or seen played, so I don't know how PT did, but it reminds me a little bit of the Resident Evil 7 demo, combined with Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which was a Wii game, which was more visual novel than a Silent Hill game, and then it had action moments. So typically the game, the way this short message plays out, which is Silent Hill short message, is you are exploring a old apartment building that teens have been committing suicide on for years. Like, this is the suicide hotspot. And you're kind of like exploring, you're a girl whose friend has passed away from this hotspot, and you are kind of like sorting your shit out because you got a text message from your friend to come there. And so, like, you've got all these problems, your character's going through a lot of depression and suicidal tendencies themselves, so they're working through a lot of emotional stuff. Standard Silent Hill ass baseline, like a main character who's full of problems, and Silent Hill is sorting it out. You're not in Silent Hill, but the town you take place in is you find like newspaper clippings, and it's like it's suffering from COVID. It basically after COVID, it had all these plans to like build up the town,
gentrify,
and, save it. And COVID killed all of that. All of the investors backed out because a lot of the investors were from Asian companies, and there was, they were hit pretty hard with COVID. And so it's like all this sort of stuff that, it's interesting. Like COVID-19 had such an impact on this game, like within the narrative of this game. So yeah, it was like, okay, that's interesting that like they mentioned that it has the Silent Hill effect where people are said to see fog where fog doesn't exist and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, cool. So they're doing Silent Hill outside of Silent Hill. That's kind of fun. And, I don't know. It just, you explore the building. It's creepy. You get text messages. You're on your phone. You use your phone as your flashlight. And then occasionally you'll see like, bloop, like you get a text message and you like answer your phone. And it's kind of cool how they did it. Like, I really enjoyed that. Your phone is also like your menu. So you go through, there's only two pages. There's text messages and notes that you found, so you can reread them. And then suddenly your phone will start glitching out, and that means you're about to have an encounter with the big scary monster. And there's only one scary monster. It chases you. And you basically have to find your way out of a small labyrinth while it chases you. And once you get to safety, it ends. You start doing your explore world build, like figure out the story, all that sort of stuff, then until you find the next one, right? And it just keeps piecing it. The last one's really hard. I even had to look up help because I didn't understand. I had actually accomplished everything I needed except for leaving, I just got caught, and I was like, god damn it. Apparently, like, the last chase, you're like finding clues of your childhood to like unlock a locked door. And it's got, like, all these different chains. So you have to find, like, different... Each photograph you find removes the chain, a chain from the door. And I wasn't getting that because I was so anxious from the monster chasing me. I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? Am I finding... Yeah. Am I doing the right thing? And basically, I was like, oh, I was doing the right thing after all. It just... I just had to go to the unlocked door afterward. It's like, oh, god damn it. I could have done this.
Sounds terrible, man.
It was good. I had a good time. It's very, yeah, not for the lighthearted, like the anxiety, yeah, like of every other the chase. Silent.
Yeah.
Yeah. The anxiety, the like chase even is really stressful.
Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake, like, I loved those games, but there were moments where it was just like, oh, it's too much. I'd have to turn it off and like come back later or whatever because it was just like too anxiety inducing.
Yeah. No, it was fun. I had a good time. I rolled credits on it. It was obviously like not the best Silent Hill, but it was nice. It was nice to see them put some stock in their IP. And guess what?
Yeah.
It's free. So can't complain.
Yeah, so does it actually, I mean, is there a Silent game? This is a rhetorical question, but like, is there a Silent Hill game that has like a satisfying ending where you actually know what happens? One, and two, is this like that? Is it actually a full game is what I'm saying? Or is it like PT, like an extended PT where it's just a preview of like the games that are coming? Because there's a remake coming, right? And then there's a new game.
Yes, there's Resident Evil 2, or Resident Evil, fucking Silent Hill 2 is getting remade. That's being done by the Bluebird team, and I know they don't have a great track record, but everything I've seen looks promising. And notoriously, like, Silent Hill 2 has been regarded as the best Silent Hill. It's not my favorite, but I definitely know why it's regarded as the best. It's got the best story, it's got the most impact. It's also the weirdest Silent Hill out of the, because it separates itself lore, like, story-wise from all the other Silent Hill's main storyline. So that is coming out. That's going to be a full blown game. This is like, I would say it's a full game. It's got a story. It's got a, like, you go through the arc, your character has resolution at the end and credits roll. Like that's, I would say, yes, this is a game front to back. You can beat it in two and a half hours and that's it. The game is concluded. You've got this. I don't think it's a preview of
of what's to
upcoming.
Come.
There is a Silent Hill game that is supposed to be taken back in like ancient Japan or something like it looked like.
Oh.
There was a preview of one that's a brand new Silent Hill game that is taking place in the past. It's not a modern Silent Hill game, and it has like fungi and flower blossoms and stuff like that in like the, I can't remember what it was called for the life of me, but it was part of that Silent Hill they did like a direct or whatever, Silent Hill direct, I can't remember what the hell it was called.
Yeah.
The game, the short message reminds me of that in some regards. Just because it has like the monsters, like a cherry blossom monster, and it chases after you and it's spooky. I'm trying to think of, fuck, I'm looking up, seeing if I can find the name of the Silent Hill game that's coming out. Silent Hill 2 Remake, Silent Hill F. Maybe it's Silent Hill F? Unlike the rest of the series, in rural Japan. So Silent Hill F is the one I'm thinking of, but it takes place in 1960s rural Japan.
And those are the only two that you know that are currently in development?
Yes, so they are...
For some reason, I thought there was another one that was... But maybe it's Silent Hill F that I'm thinking of, and I just
they did do there was like it. That weird, they did a weird fucking experimentation thing where like it's like a show that people are creating the outcome of, like everybody, like it's like, I can't remember, it was a weird experiment. I didn't watch any of it. I'm not super into doing that sort of stuff, so I don't know. I haven't heard anything. It's done. Like, they've done episodes of it, so I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know if it just, like, flopped or what happened. Like, maybe it didn't. Maybe it's super successful, and I'm just, like, on the outs of it.
I'm sure that's why we've heard nothing about it.
Maybe. I don't want to slander something I know nothing about, so.
That's good of you. Well, James, before we get into some trivia, do you want to give us, because I didn't watch the PlayStation State of Play, do you want to give us a rundown of what it was, what was worth watching? Because you said something about a I can't think of words. The trailer for Death Stranding 2, which I think sounds cool.
I liked
the first one.
Oh, I loved the first one. And I know some people were like, they love to mock it, say it was a walking
scene. And I totally understand why, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, there is a part at the end, and we did a spoiler cast on this, if you ever want to go back and listen to it, me and Shane did. And that's how long ago it was. But he says something about, I'm Mario and you're Princess Peach, meaning like Princess Peach, but they're on a beach.
Yeah.
There's just shit like that where it's just like, that is the worst, one of the worst lines of dialogue I've ever heard in a video game before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I know that's kind of like out of left field, but like, there's shit like that. And not to mention the fact that it wasn't very, I think people were expecting kind of a Metal Gear Solid-ish game, and it's definitely not that.
It does have elements of it. Like, there are, like, once you start to, like, get weapons... gets a little bit more like Metal Gear Solid-y, but yeah, it's more, I think the second one, Death Stranding 2, the trailer is nuts. Like, you're going to start watching the trailer and you're going to be like, the fuck am I watching? Like, it
dude, do you remember the trailers from the original one though?
And those look normal. Those look normal.
All right. I can't wait to see it then.
I'm all for it though. Like, as soon as I started seeing the weird shit, I'm like, I'm in. You've got me. Just let me experience this. I cannot wait. Like, I'm so excited for it. It's going, I want to say, like, even more Metal Gear-y, if that makes sense. Like, there is a fucking Metal Gear reference in this trailer to the point that, like, there's no way you're not gonna know what it is. And it's so good. And you're just like, all right, we're just doing, like, he's just decided, I'm just taking, like, all the things I loved about Metal Gear, and I'm just putting it in this game. There's, like, literally ships in this game that look like Metal Gear Rex, just in different forms. Yeah. And But, like, those aren't the Metal Gear-y reference. Like, I strongly recommend you to watch it. And I will. Anybody on social media, on Threads, even X if you want to, on Blue Sky, message me. Tell me if you know what I'm talking about, because I saw it and I'm fucking pumped. I'm like, all right, let's do it. We got a little bit more Dragon's Dogma 2, which I know everybody's really hyped for. Got a little bit more information on Foam Stars, which is a game that I think visually looks fucking great that I'm never going to play. And we've got a little bit more on Helldivers 2, which comes out in a couple days. It'll probably be out by the time this video is out.
That game was fun, man.
I've never played it. But this new one looks good. It looks good. It's fun. I'm interested.
If you have a crew to play with, it's a good time.
I'm trying to convince
my buddies. So if you ever want to play, let me know.
All right. Yeah. A little bit on Judas, which gave us nothing. I still have no idea what this game is going to be like. I know it's like the BioShock spiritual successor. Legendary Tales VR game, which at first looks really crappy, but then when you start to see what they're actually doing, it actually looks really fucking cool. It's like an RPG where, I don't know, it looks like PS2 era RPG, like medieval kind of world, dark medieval. But like, there's stuff where like you're swinging like a chair at a skeleton, he knocks the skeleton down, and he's like grabbing the skeleton by the neck and then just punching him over and over again, and then throws the skeleton, uses the skeleton as a weapon. Just stuff like that, where it's like, oh, they're really making the world interactable to a level that is, I've not really seen in a ton of games, so it looks fun. I don't have a VR, so I'll never get to know the pleasures, but it looks like it'll be a blast. There's some another Metro game is coming to VR.
Yeah, I saw that.
Rise of the Ronin, we talked about that a little bit. They had a little bit more on that. They revealed the Silent Hill short message, which I just told you everything about it, so go play it for free. It's fun. Hill 2, they showed us Silent Hill 2 and then didn't give us a fucking release date. God damn it.
Nothing? Not even a year?
Well, I think it's this year, but they didn't say when. It was supposed to be last year, and they didn't say when. So who knows? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We're still waiting on a few games that said last year or the year before that, like Lucky Squire and Silk Song.
Silk Song was like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was literally, I forgot, fucking Hollow Knight came out the year my son was born, dude. And it was supposed to be DLC for
Hollow Knight. Yeah.
Hollow Knight. And that was 2017. That will be 7 years ago this summer. Fucking crazy.
Sonic Shadow Generations. So if you like Sonic Generations, add a little more shadow to the mix and you got a new game. Stellar Blade. We got to see a little bit of that. There's like some Until Dawn re-release or something.
I saw that.
A game called V Rising. Have you heard about it? It's it kind of looks like Diablo, like top down that style of game.
Isometric.
Yeah, Diablo meets Castlevania without infringing on any franchises. It is so like there's like literally a scene where like the vampire is sitting on the chair like the Dracula, like Dracula does. What is a man or whatever, you know, like that whole, like, I was like, oh, it's just that scene. And then he gets up and it's top down. I was like, oh boy, it's Castlevania, but it's not Castlevania.
Was it made by ChatGPT?
It does look cool. But it's called V Rising. And I think that's it.
Cool. I did. Ultimately, I will say games.
It wasn't a huge, like, it wasn't a huge exciting state of play. Like there was like a lot of known entities, a couple new reveals. I don't know, like it didn't blow my socks off. There's a few things that I was really hyped for. I was really hyped for A Short Message because like we got a free Silent Hill game. Wow, that's really cool.
That's awesome.
And we got to see some really insane Death Stranding 2 stuff. And then just a couple other visually entertaining trailers, and I think that's kind of where it is. We're getting another state of play for Final Fantasy VII. I think it's this Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's going
to
be...
I don't need to see anything on that
game. I know, right? But
I'm going to play the shit out of it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I should take PTO from work so that I can not feel guilty while I do it. The other thing I was going to say, just real quick, before we do a little trivia GTFO, I played Sonic Frontiers, the demo, because with PlayStation Plus, they've monetized demos, which I have an opinion on that, but I won't get into it now. And I'm glad I did, because it's not something I think I would really thoroughly enjoy playing, and I thought I would enjoy it. And it's, you know, maybe if it came to Game Pass, I'd play a little bit more, but it's just... It is a cool 3D Sonic platformer, which,
yeah,
but the graphics are kind of janky, and it's just, there's a lot of jank in there in my limited time with it.
Visually, so. I thought that the world looked like way more realistic than Sonic did, and it kind of,
oh yeah,
like
Sonic
didn't belong.
Oh man. Yeah, and then the voice actor for Sonic, I think I took a video of it and was going to send it to you guys because I thought, I captured it on my PlayStation because I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And yeah, like, I don't know. I hate ripping on stuff because I sure shit couldn't draw Sonic either. But like his shoes are like half the size of his body. I don't know. it just didn't seem great. But anyway, right, that's that.
It is, right?
Yeah. So if you haven't played that one, you don't really probably need to. I don't think. Jill Valentine is a character from which popular video game series? It's an easy one.
Yeah, Resident Evil. Specifically, she's from Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 3, and makes a cameo in Resident Evil 5. Yeah, that's right.
Santa Monica-based Naughty Dog released their first installment of their best-selling franchise Uncharted in 2007, but what game was their breakout hit? Was it Jack and Daxter?
Read it again?
Santa Monica-based Naughty Dog released the first installment of their best-selling franchise Uncharted in 2007. But what game was their breakout hit?
Yeah, I think it was Jack and Daxter.
Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, shit, you're right. It was Crash Bandicoot. I always think they made Crash Bandicoot. I always think it was Toys for Bob always had it.
Yeah.
But no, that's right. It was... Who did Jack and...
Jack and Daxter.
Yeah, they did do it. So, okay, we're not out to lunch. I guess it's not their breakthrough. Like, let's be honest.
I always thought Crash Bandicoot was Activision.
I think Activision owned the rights to it after... There was, like, a lot of trading hands. Are you sure? Let me look this up. I'm almost... You're right. I want to see this.
Which company released Space Invaders in Japan?
I'm
going to say Atari.
Space Invaders. Sounds like Galaga. Didn't they do Galaga?
I don't. I've never heard of this company before, if that's helpful at all to you.
Okay. What is it?
Taito.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten it. Yes. Nope. So apparently, Crash Bandicoot was originally developed by Naughty Dog as an exclusive for the PlayStation. And then I guess it got... God damn. It got paid. The series was originally produced by Universal Interactive, later became known as Vivendi Games. In 2008, Vivendi merged with Activision, which currently owns the publishing franchise. So... So while it was created by Naughty Dog, the rights were owned by Universal, which was basically transformed into Vivendi and handed off to and merged with Activision. So
Vivendi almost took over Ubisoft like a decade ago. Yeah. That was the company that almost did the aggressive takeover, or what do they call that?
Hostile takeover,
yeah, Ubisoft.
But yeah,
I remember what's face up there pleading for people to like help them or whatever.
But yeah.
Which music rhythm game series that has a player wielding a guitar-shaped controller game came first, Rock Band or Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Rock Band.
Who was the character introduced in the 1994 2D platformer game Sonic Triple, Sonic and Tails 2?
Oh, it's Sonic and Knuckles?
Who was the character?
Introduced?
Yeah.
In that game? Knuckles?
Knack the Weasel.
Oh, what are we... Wait, what was the question?
Who was the character introduced in the 1994 2D platform game Sonic Triple / Sonic and Tails 2?
Oh, okay, yeah. I for some reason, I thought I understood Triple as 3, and I went with
that. Oh.
But because there was weird, because Sonic did Sonic... they did a Sonic and Knuckles game, and then they did a Sonic 3, and then they re-released it as Sonic and 3 and Knuckles, which was you play the first half of the game. One, Knuckles becomes a playable character, and then two, you play the first game, essentially, which is Sonic 3, as any of the characters, Sonic, Knuckles, or Tails, and then... After you beat the game, you immediately start playing Sonic and Knuckles with those characters, which was the version I had. I had the big collect them all in one thing. So when you said Sonic 3, that's where my brain
went. Are you familiar with Knack the Weasel?
I have never heard of Knack the Weasel.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Neither have I. Well, yeah, that'll do it for today, James. Thanks for joining me. You can hit us up at MN Gamers Podcast on Twitter, emails podcast at mostlynormalgamers.com. Check out the Substack at mngamers.substack.com. Find me at Johnny Samsonite on Twitter. You can find James at BLP. James, you tell the people. Tell them you stream on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday now, right?
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday streams in the evening at twitch.tv/BLP Entertainment. That's BLP, which stands for Buttlord Primus, which is where you can find me on all my socials at Buttlord Primus.
Yeah. And you can find Angie at Stellar Smalls. And you can find Chris in Madison, Wisconsin somewhere, because I don't think he's on videos anymore. It's a big town. They'll never find him.
They'll never find him.
He is tall, though, so maybe they will.
He stands out in a crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for joining us, y'all, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Bye.
Bye.